Hello and welcome to a massive Over the Trench show today. We've got two interviews lined up for you. We've got Colin Frey, yes, the voice of BBC Nottingham, a joy to talk to. And we've got Blake from Talk Derby to me, one of the best names in podcast history, in my opinion. We talk about everything from on the pitch to off the pitch with Derby, with both interviewees. A real delight and an episode I'm really proud of. So I hope you enjoy it and I hope the Reds get a win on Saturday. Come on, you Reds!
On campus
and online.
Online.
This
is
URN.
Hello and welcome to Over the Trench. Today we are joined by one of the very few constants in Nottingham Forest history, a man who has been the bearer of so much good news as well as so many disappointing results, the voice of BBC Nottingham's Forest coverage for over 31 years, whose first game was Forest 7, Chelsea 0. How the times have changed. Colin Frey, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And you never know, put Chelsea against us. No, you're right. Times have changed.
Have you got your opening lines for Saturday ready?
No, because I don't do that. I'm not one for scripting things in commentary. It's all very much sort of relatable to the moment, really. I liken it really to a footballer who is very skilled in what he does, but he can't possibly predict the first thing he's going to do in a match. It's very similar. There's quite a few similarities, I think, to the way I work in commentary compared to what you might see in a football match. And one of those is spontaneity, because you can never really plan what's going to happen over 90 minutes of football.
Mm. So you have the dream job seemingly every Forest fan would love to have if they can't be on the pitch. How did you find yourself behind the microphone at the Peter Taylor stand?
Long story, and a long time ago, but I'll try and dredge it up from the old grey matter. It came about because I noticed that the BBC were running a competition in conjunction with Foster's Lager, as it was then. I don't know how the BBC were able to run a competition in conjunction with Foster's Lager. It wouldn't happen these days, but it did then, to find the amateur commentator of the year across the UK. And I thought I would have a go. So I recorded a bit of Forest against Luton in the 1989 League Cup final on an old cassette recorder, which people of your age won't even know what one of those is. but it was the way we used to record stuff in the old days, and sent it off. It was like a 10-minute chunk, sent it off, thought nothing more of it, ended up being selected for the Midlands final, and went to BBC Pebble Mill, the old studios in Birmingham, for the Midlands final. Won that, got selected for the regional final, for the national final, down at the Oval in London, and won that. And so I became the 1991 Amateur Commentator of the Year. And because I live locally, they then put me in touch, or they rather put Radio Nottingham in touch with me and said, look, you've got this lad on your patch who has never done it before professionally, but actually he's been good enough to win our competition, so you might want to give him a listen. And that's where it started. I was fortunate enough that Martin Fisher, who was the sports editor at the time, got me along, had a bit of a chat with me, put me on a radio programme or two to have a chat like this, really. Mm-hmm. Soon after, I got a call to go and do Hucknall Town at Hinckley Athletic in the FA Vars. That was my first ever match. And a couple of weeks after that, I got the call. No, maybe a bit more than a couple of weeks. A couple of months after that, I got the call to go and do that Forest Chelsea game for Radio Nottingham, which Forest won 7-0. And that was my first game. So that's a potted history of how it happened. And it's certainly not the kind of standard way into a broadcasting yeah. industry by any stretch of the imagination.
What a wonderful story. And it feels almost Forest-esque, from nothing to beating Chelsea on the first day. It feels very sort of I believe in miracles, that whole story. I joked at the start that you've been one of the few constants in modern Forest history, your voice being always there for us Forest fans. How many managers have you now post-match interviewed? And have you ever seen anyone have such a good effect on the team as Steve Cooper has?
I honestly couldn't tell you how many managers it is. I think I was into the 30s, if you include the caretakers. Which I think you should. Mm. I think I looked at 31 rings a bell. It's something like that, which you know, kind of says its own story, really, when I've been doing it for 30 years. It's kind of the lack of consistency, I think, has really hurt Forest over the years at times. In terms of having an impact, well, no, I can't think of anybody who's turned Forest round from where they were and so quickly and made such a dramatic change from being pretty much no hopers earlier in the season and looking like it was going to be a really long season and probably end in relegation, unless there were three teams that ended up getting points deductions. So to go from that, to go from 1 point from the first seven games to the kind of win ratio that Steve Cooper's brought about and put them on the verge of the playoffs is just an incredible turnaround. And with the same players largely, I mean, obviously we're now into January, he's got a couple of fresh faces in already in this window, but basically with the same players that Chris Hughton had at his disposal. So to turn them round from, as I say, pretty much no hopers at the foot of the table to playoff challengers in the space of 20 games has been an incredible turnaround. And I can't remember anybody having an impact quite like that. I mean, people that I've dealt with have done very good jobs at times at Forest. Stuart Pearce obviously had a very good start when he came in. He had a good impact. Frank Clark's job, as soon as he replaced Brian Clough, which looked like the impossible task, he did a fantastic job for the first couple of seasons when he was in charge. And that sort of coincided with my first couple of seasons doing it full time as well. And there have been so many. I always think about Dougie Friedman and how good a job he did in the circumstances that he had to work with Forest under the embargo and working hard to make sure that he could get the best out of what he had at Forest. I thought he was a little bit hard done by. So there've been a number of managers who've had good spells, but I don't think there's anybody that's affected a turnaround quite like we're seeing under Steve Cooper.
Steve Cooper's certainly got them on the up. And if we look on the other side of this derby, Derby County also in really good form. There seems to be an extra air of suspense about this game coming up on Saturday. It feels more important than ever before. Have you ever felt a Midlands rivalry go this far before? It feels like there's an extra layer of importance considering Forest are on the up and Derby maybe on the way down.
I think there's always importance to this game. And clearly at the moment, what's more important for Derby is the future rather than just the immediate future of this game. So there's kind of that significance, I think, riding behind this weekend's derby. But you're right. I mean, Derby are in excellent form. The job that Wayne Rooney's done there has been absolutely miraculous. We talk about the job Steve Cooper's been doing, but, you know, Wayne Rooney, in the circumstances of what's going on all around him at Derby, has done a fantastic job. And when you take off their points deduction, I think I'm right in saying they would be 2 points behind Forest. So, I mean, it's an extraordinary position for them to be in. Because without being able really to add to the squad and all the rest of it, all of those problems that they have, to be effectively, they would be in a position where they'd think at this stage they could challenge for the playoffs at the end of the season is a great job. So I think the danger, and I think many teams are falling into this trap, is to kind of take Derby too lightly, is to kind of think, oh, well, we'll just turn up this weekend and we'll win because this lot haven't got anything. They've got a very small squad. We'll be okay. You know, I one or two games spring to mind against Derby earlier in the season. Fulham, I think, rested Mitrovic and therefore didn't beat them. Bournemouth's defending was absolutely appalling when they played them in that same week, just a few days later. Sheffield United's defending at the weekend against Derby was shocking. And I think there's a tendency at the moment for teams to fall into the trap of thinking that Derby aren't actually very good because they're bottom of the table and they haven't got a very big squad and all the rest of it. But actually, they are good. And I think any team that's not right at it against Derby is capable of being turned over, as they've been proving through the first half of the season. So I'm sure none of this is going to be anything new to Steve Cooper. He'll be right on top of it and right across it and make sure his team are right up for it. And they'll need to be.
If you look at the actual odds, it's very in favour of Forest, but Derby have only just lost 2 points since December the 5th. Derby's real island mentality, something I sort of can see with how they're playing. It feels like Derby against the world, with it possibly being Rooney's last game as Derby boss, possibly going to Everton. We're not sure about that. This game could come at a really good time for Rams fans because they've got nothing to lose, really.
I think that's right. I think that's a very good point. I think that, the bookies' odds kind of indicate what I was just saying, wasn't it? That actually people are taking Derby lightly and they really shouldn't. And I think those odds, I haven't actually looked at them myself, but if they are that skewed towards Forest, then, yes, that shows that Forest are in very good form themselves. And we shouldn't forget that. They are playing very well at the moment, Forest. So that is clearly on Forest's side. But I think it would be wrong to have them as really, really hot favourites against a team that are pretty good. And you're right, there are so many subplots, aren't there? Like, are they going to be able to keep hold of players before the weekend? Are they going to be able to keep hold of their manager before the weekend? Is this going to be his last game? Is Tom Lawrence still going to be there? There are so many of those subplots to this Derby match. But from a Forest point of view, I know we hear this all the time in football, and it's a cliche that I don't really like, but they really do have to just focus on themselves this week and not get distracted by the noises off. Because as I say, I think other teams have approached Derby in the wrong frame of mind so far this season. And Forest just have to make sure they're absolutely at it from the off and are playing as well as they did probably in each of their last three games, against Arsenal, against Millwall, against Huddersfield. I thought they played really well and were unlucky not to win the game. Never mind to lose it. As long as Forest keep doing that, then I think they should be okay. But for goodness sake, don't take them lightly.
No, Forest really can't take Derby lightly. Pack City Ground, how do you see Forest attackingly breaking down Derby? Because we've seen Graben and Davies start against Millwall. Davies started alone up against Arsenal. Do you think it'll be two up front or one up front for Forest?
I think they'll probably go with the kind of formation that they had at Millwall, which is to probably, well, whether they play Graben in a withdrawn role like they did there or not, or they bring Zinchenko back into the side, we'll have to wait and see. But I kind of like Forest in that formation where they sit a player, one of those front three, in that sort of deep number 10 role and don't have somebody directly ahead of him, but have, in Saturday's case, Davis and Johnson in slightly wider positions than your standard centre forward. And it seems to work. So it wouldn't surprise me if they went for something similar. But, Steve Cooper is very, very much a head coach who looks at the opposition and just works out what's going to hurt them. And works out a formation that will hurt them. And usually it works. And I'm sure he'll do the same again. The one thing I like about Forest at the moment, and I think is getting better with each game, and we've seen indications of it in each of those last three games, less so against Arsenal, of course, because of the opposition, the quality of the opposition. But against Millwall and against Huddersfield as well, the number of times they just rip the defence apart with those little one-touch passing and movement off the ball into the penalty area, into a dangerous position. I still can't quite believe they didn't manage to score a goal against Huddersfield because they were so good with that attacking play. And I think if they can carry on doing that, and again, against Millwall, they didn't really for the first half an hour. They couldn't. Millwall were good. But then they established themselves in the match in the second half and deserved to win it, I think. And if they can do that against Derby, against the likes of Curtis Davis, Richard Stearman at the back, then I think they can certainly get some reward.
Part of the going forward with Forest is Brennan Johnson. I've read yesterday that Brentford have put a bid in for Brennan Johnson. Slightly worrying as a Forest fan, someone my age. He feels like he represents the young Forest demographic. Do you think this could be his last game in the Garibaldi? And how do you think he'll perform at his first home derby at the City Ground?
I mean, big occasion for him, big occasion for all the Forest players. But obviously he rose to the occasion at Pride Park earlier in the season and got the Forest goal. And I'm sure he'll want a bit more of that at the City Ground. I think it was always going to be a very interesting January. And as much Forest's success in the January transfer window was as much going to be measured on who they brought in as much as who they kept, because bids were going to come in for Brennan Johnson, possibly even to Middlesbrough for Jed Spence, who knows, but for Joe Worrell, you would expect as well. They have jewels in the crown. And when you're playing as well as Forest have been, and are as eye-catching as Forest have been, that rise up the table will have been noted by clubs all over the country, and the players involved in it will have been noted by clubs all over the country. It isn't a surprise that they're attracting that kind of interest. And clearly, Brennan Johnson has got a huge future. Forest fans, like you say, will be desperately hoping that the Reds are in a position to be able to turn down the money and to persuade him to give it another 6 months and try and help get into the Premier League, which I'm sure is his ambition, with Forest, and see if he can get Forest into the Premier League. And then, you know, then who knows from then on. You know, it's Brentford who are very much, it seems, at the front of the running at the moment. But who knows whether if Forest can get up, can they then fare better in their Premier League future than a Brentford might? So big decisions for all around, really, if Brentford ever match the price that Forest want. Decision then for Forest, well, okay, they've matched the price, and now we do have a decision to make. Decision for Brennan as to, you know, where he thinks his future is best. But as you say, Forest fans everywhere will be desperately hoping that they can keep him and not kind of continue that cycle, if you like. I mean, a lot of the sales have been, I think, good value for Forest over the years, but we've seen so many players come through the academy, haven't we, and then get sold on for, as I say, decent money. And a lot of them have looked like really good deals given what's happened afterwards. Until this season, I'd have said the same about Ben Brereton, now Ben Brereton Diaz. But, you know, you kind of look at what he's done now and you realise why clubs were prepared to pay as much as they were. So are Forest going to get out of that cycle? Are they able financially to get out of that cycle? If they do sell him, have they got somebody who they can go and, or a couple of players maybe, who they can go and buy and replace? And do Premier League sides feel that Brennan Johnson is quite the finished article yet? Is he ready for them to be spending the big money on yet? Or will they actually give him another 6 months to continue developing at Forest and then maybe come back for him in the summer? This is what January is all about.
Yeah, January has always been a weird time for Forest fans, almost to find, are we going for it? Are we not going for it? But also January has been a great time for Forest with us beating Arsenal. How was your experience of commentating on another defeat of Arsenal in the FA Cup?
Odd this year, really, because, obviously we're getting used to it. We do now, isn't it? Beat Arsenal in the FA Cup. And Steve Cooper said it afterwards as well. It all felt very comfortable. Forest seemed to just be able to keep Arsenal at arm's length. It was very sort of smooth. Brees Samba was rarely stretched. I don't think they had a shot on target, did they, Arsenal, in the whole game? And you always thought that at some point during the game, however poor Arsenal had been, and, you know, give Forest credit as well for how good they were, but Arsenal were below par, you always thought in a minute they're going to wake up and they're going to really test Forest. And they never did. And again, I think you give Forest credit for that, for sticking at it, for working really hard off the ball for 90 minutes, because they knew if they ever switched off, then they obviously got the players who are capable of hurting them. And they never switched off. And they were excellent defensively, good debuts for Davis and Cook. And then obviously they found, again, one of those incisive moves, quick pace, good delivery into the box. And of course, you got Lewis Grabban there to finish it off. So, even after that, at 82 minutes, I kind of thinking, right, now Arsenal are really going to have a go for it. And they still couldn't. So it was strange, really, because it was so comfortable. And I certainly wasn't expecting that.
No, I wasn't expecting it. It was my birthday. I was severely hungover in my first game in the Trent End. And I did not feel comfortable. But watching it back, I then realised, oh, no, Forest played really well. I was a nervous wreck throughout that game. But it was just a delight to see Lewis Grabban put that one in. As a uni radio station, it'd be foolish of us not to ask such an established BBC Sports commentator for some advice. We have Varsity coming up later this year. Two lucky students will be commentating on the football. From your experiences, Colin, what one piece of advice would you give to aspiring commentators, and what's one trap they should try and avoid?
Okay, so it sounds obvious, but say what you see. And say as much of what you see as you possibly can. So there's a very easy trap to fall in, which is to think that everybody can see what you can see and nobody can see what you can see. If they're not at the game, they're listening on the radio, then you are their eyes. So you have to paint the picture for them. So the more detail you can give about the colour of hair, the height, the colour boots that a player is wearing, the position of the ball on the pitch, the crisp packet that's being blown across the pitch from the Trent end across to the right in the stiff breeze that's bending the corner flags over, all of that kind of colour is valuable. It's more than valuable. It's vital. You have to do it, because otherwise it's a case of he's got the ball, he's got the ball, he's got the ball, goal. And nobody's got a clue of actually what's just happened in the game. You've got no idea. So as much detail as you possibly can is my biggest tip. So say what you see, but say as much of what you can see as you possibly can.
Thank you so much for that piece of advice. I'm sure that'll go down really well with your own students. We did ask our students if they had any questions for you. Not great ones, I'm afraid. Worst Forest kit you've commentated on?
Worst Forest kit? Oh, I didn't like that Labatt yellow one. Way back with the horrible pattern down the side. I know that's the kind of 50-50 split. A lot of people did like that. But Forest away kits are generally going a bit more outlandish, aren't they? None more so than this year. I just give me yellow shirts and blue shorts. That's any kind of yellow shirt and blue shorts, with the exception of the Labatt's one that's got the horrible thing on the shoulder, is what I'd like to see in it.
Weirdly, my dad had that shirt stolen in Bristol, so it's obviously popular in Bristol for some reason.
Oh, somebody liked it. Yeah.
And our final question is, what are your score predictions, man of the match, and moment of the game for Saturday, Colin?
Right, well, I will go for 2-1 Forest. Let's have the moment of the match as Brennan Johnson scoring in the 92nd minute to win it. And the man of the match will be Ryan Yates.
Perfect. Colin Frey, thank you so much for your time, being so generous with it. Best of luck for Saturday. Go well and keep it URM.
On campus.
And online.
Online.
This is URN.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Over the Champ. We're joined by Blake from Talk Derby to Me podcast. Blake, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I've had quieter weeks, but not too bad at the minute.
How nervous are you for Saturday then? You going to be at the City Ground?
Yeah, I've got my ticket. I'm nervous because it seems like there's an extra bit of spice to it this time because of, I think social media is one of the, I don't know what the word is to use, but I didn't think it would divide opinion as much as it has with this petition that's been out there, and it's been quite divisive, and it's given it that little extra edge. So I'm more nervous than I was this time last week now, because it's put something on the game. I think I've got that extra little bit of about me now to go. I'd love to go there and get results, to be honest.
Yeah, of course you would. Well, I was talking to Colin Frey, the BBC Nottingham commentator, early on in the podcast, and he was saying how there's this little extra layer of this is going to be a big one, whether it's because Derby are going to go down, we might not have this game, or Forest might go up. I'm not sure how you feel about that. But there just feels that extra little bit of energy towards this game. Now, you talked about the petition. What's gone on off the pitch for Derby? Can you please explain it to me? Because it's mad what's going on.
So, I don't know how far to go back, but essentially we had an owner who has put us in a difficult position, and I accept... fans of all clubs who believe we need to be punished, we do need to be punished. We're under a transfer embargo at the minute. We've been docked 21 points. This difficulty in the situation is at the minute that because of our financial fair play record, both Middlesbrough and Wickham believe that, well, Wickham believe they were relegated and we stayed up, and we stayed up unfairly, so they've got a claim in against the club. Middlesbrough believe they missed out on the playoffs, so they've put a claim in, and because they're classed as football creditors, and we technically could owe them money, no, but it's kind of holding the takeover up. So as it stands at the minute, we've got to prove to the EFL by February the 1st that we've got funds to get through the rest of the season, or we could be expelled from the league. And that is at the minute the only stumbling block, I believe, from what I've read and what I've been told by local MPs, is that Middlesbrough and Wickham case. So it's a whole can, and you could probably do an hour podcast on exactly as what has exactly happened from 2014 when Mel Morris took over a week before we played QPR at Wembley. Incidentally, QPR failed financial fair play that year and went up, but we didn't sue them. But it's just been a whole mess year upon year, and it's just kind of been a gamble each year, and it's got to the point where it's all kind of gone bang, and it's a real, real mess. And I never thought I would see Derby County in a situation like this, where in a couple of weeks, I mean, like, this is what you say about it being a special game on Saturday. It could be one of Derby County's, I mean, I'm laughing because if you don't laugh, you cry. It could be one of Derby County's last games. It's that fraught at the minute. It's a real, real mess.
It does feel like there's an amazing Netflix documentary in the making here, because it's just absolutely mad what's going on. So Netflix, come up with an idea and get back to us at Over the Trent. As a Derby fan, how difficult is it knowing that your club could just, like Bury, just go? And I know Forest fans will be, you know, taking the mick and all that, but for your entity to go, what is that like as a fan? Because I've never experienced that.
It's surreal. So I likened it to a Forest fan I work with. Do you know when you go to like Wembley, or if you've got like a surreal moment in it doesn't quite seem real? So like if you score the winner in the last minute and it's like, oh, this is incredible, but you're in the moment and it doesn't seem real. It's a bit like that at the minute, that we kind of know, and everyone's very emotional, and my social media is full of like, there's a hashtag at the minute, My Derby Story, and it's people telling their story about how they got into the club and favourite memories, and people are kind of, they're there or thereabouts, like, we know it could happen, but it's kind of, it doesn't bear thinking about, to be honest. It's not very nice at all, if I'm honest. It's not very nice, and Derby County has been a big part of my life for as long as I can remember, a big part of my father's life. My mum worked at the club, my nana worked at the club. And take away Forest hating Derby, Derby hating Forest, anyone hating Derby, because everyone seems to hate Derby nowadays. It's a new trend into on social media. I don't think many people like us, which is understandable in a lot of ways. But take away all of that, there's still people that work there. There's still people that it's their life. And I've watched documentaries on Bury and of Macclesfield with Robbie Savage. And I watched that quite recently, actually. And that kind of brought it home when you see the fans showing pictures of, this is me when I used to go and watch Macclesfield, but they don't kind of exist anymore, and Bury. And it's a difficult thing to process. But while we've got hope, we've just got to keep fighting for the club. We've just got to keep going and going and going. Then hopefully we can do something to stop it.
Yeah, well, on the pitch, things are going fantastic. It's so oxymoronic how you're really struggling off it. But out of five of the last games, you've won four and drew the other one since the 5th of December. What is going on the pitch? Why is it going so well for you guys? Because everyone looking in to out, it just looks like, oh, Derby aren't going to be this good team, but they just seem to be keep rolling and rolling with the wins. So what's going on the pitch?
We've got to give a shout out to Wayne Rooney for how he's brought a squad together that's either veterans. So we've unfortunately lost Phil Jagielka because of the current situation. He wanted to stay, but he's had to go to Stoke, and Graham Shinney. They were two stalwarts in this team. But Curtis Davis, an experienced pro, Tom Lawrence has come into his own, and they really seem to be fighting. And it's a very strange thing to say, but it's been one of my most enjoyable seasons watching Derby County in a very long time, because there's no division in the fans. There's no kind of division on the pitch. It's kind of us against the world, and we're going everywhere. Derby's selling out away ends, and they're getting behind with no expectation. We don't expect to go anywhere and get a victory. We don't expect to beat Bournemouth at home, go to Fulham and get a point. Like, these results are incredible. 2-0 down at Reading the other week, the draw you mentioned out of them five results. We went to Reading, we was 2-0 down with 5 minutes to go, and as soon as we got one back, we just believed that it was going to happen and was going to get it. And the fight is incredible. And if we're allowed to do so, and if there's a club to do so, I think it'll be up there as one of the greatest football achievements if we manage to stay in the Championship this season, because the football is incredible. I mean, Saturday we played Sheffield United and wasn't the greatest performance. A lot of these results haven't been the greatest of performances, but the fight and the desire and the heart is just ridiculous for Tom Lawrence to take that game by the scruff of his neck and do what he did to get another big 3 points. It's just incredible. It's pure heart and desire, which would be, it'd be so heartbreaking if Rooney went to to Everton and break another stumbling block for us, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, well, you bring that up, and I was going to ask about this. Could this be any of the Derby players' last game in the white and black? Is it maybe any of Derby's management staff final game with a ram on their shirt? What's, you got any bad predictions? Who's going to leave maybe? Or do you think they'll stay as a unit?
The thing is, Tom Lawrence kind of had a prolonged walk off the pitch after his two goals on Saturday and didn't exactly wave off, but can't, when you have them prolonged kind of did a look to all stands, and I kind of turned to the bloke who sits next to me, a good friend of mine, and said, might not see him again. And he was asked after the game, will you be playing in a Forest game? And just said, it's not up to me. So we've got to kind of take it game by game. I don't expect anyone to go before Saturday, touch wood, as I'm sat here now. But I fully expect that there will be people at the door. I think Louis Sibley, Millwall have come in for with an improved bid of £450,000, apparently. So he's not even getting in the squad this season, even though we're at the bare bones. So I don't think Rooney particularly fancies him anyway. I don't know if it's a training thing or his style of play. I don't know that about that. But you might see Sibley go. There's a few there that... I mean, Lawrence, he's done all he has to do to go and get a decent move. And I've not always been his biggest fan. I wouldn't begrudge him that move now. I think he's really come into his own as a captain of the club and taking games by the score for the next. So if Tom Lawrence, who I do expect to leave at some point, does go, I don't begrudge him at all.
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm, as a Forest fan, I am very nervous for Saturday. Very nervous, because you're in magnificent form. You've got this whole island mentality around you. Going to the City Ground, where it's going to be a cauldron against you, surely the Derby players have got nothing to lose. And if anything, Derby could be weird favourites to this game. What do you think on that?
I think you make a very good point. I think on the point of the atmosphere, it's one of the only times I've dreaded going to the City Ground. I mean, it's obviously like a brilliant atmosphere and I love the day. I've got friends who are Forest fans and we all know, we spoke about, like, I know lads who have played for Forest and I've gone and watched Forest because I know people, so I do quite enjoy the trip to the City Ground normally, but there's just something about this week that I know there's going to be a little bit of, maybe not toxicity, but there's going to be a little bit of an edge to it where Derby, the way they are with the squad and everything, could quite easily be find themselves 3 or 4-0 down if they're not careful. And that's when it's on top of you, when you feel like the 5-2 game, I remember being stood on the front row and you felt like everybody in the ground was staring at you. And it's one of them, you're like, oh, just, I want to be anywhere but here. And the City Ground, to be fair, has got that ability when there's a good atmosphere and there's 2,000 in that corner, you do feel a little bit surrounded sometimes when it's on top. But in another sense, Derby could go 1-0 up in the first minute, and then like you see all the noises coming from the 2,000 travelling fans, like you say, who have got nothing to lose, and those players haven't got anything to lose. And Derby's got a big point to prove on Saturday. We've been spoken about in Parliament this week. It's one of the biggest football stories and it's happened in a week when it's East Midlands Derby. So we've got to go and prove a big point on Saturday. There's a lot of people fighting for us. We've got to go and fight now and prove a few people right.
Yeah, it does feel very Disney-esque. And you're almost like the Mighty Ducks of the EFL in some way. You really are up against it. And it just, the real problem I have is the whole story is building up to beating Forest and that being your last game. And that petrifies me, because then you have the eternal bragging rights. Who should Forest look out for? Because I am very worried Tom Lawrence might stay another game and bag another two great goals. Is there anyone Worrell, McKenna and Cook should look out for?
Festi Abasele, who is... I don't know. Someone compared him to a cross between Thor and Flash on social media the other day. He's a big, strong winger, and he's one of the fastest players I've ever seen. He's very, very raw, but he's very... It reminds me of Paolo Wanchope. He's very, like, head down. He's just getting to where he goes. Like, if you're in his way, just get out of the way. But he's terrified a lot of fullbacks this season. So, Festi... obviously Tom Lawrence, Luke Plange, who's been playing up front, done really well since he's come in. There's a lot of youngsters that are coming in, but for me, I think if you're a Forest fan that hasn't seen much of Derby, keep an eye out for Festi Abasele on the wing if he gets a start, because he's frightening. If he gets him behind, there's no catching him.
Obviously, Wayne Rooney has managed Derby for, I think, 4 derbies, is it now? Got 1-1 results in most of them, I seem to remember. How do you think he'll deal with this big occasion? The eyes of the world really on this game. Obviously, he's been in much bigger games. I'm not going to compare Forest Derby to the Champions League and World Cup games, but this does feel that little bit extra, as we said. How do you think he'll set up? Do you think he'll be more defensive, or do you think he'll, you know, might go for the jugular against Forest?
I think he'll go for it. I think this year, he kind of, he didn't have the greatest start last season, and we nearly got relegated, stayed up in like the final minute of the season, but we weren't playing very well last year. And I think this year, he's been so positive, and the changes we've made. So 2-0 down at Reading, he's bringing strikers on, like we've got Ravel Morrison to come off the bench and Colin Kazim-Richards to come off the bench. At Stoke, when we went 1-0 up at Stoke recently, come back to 1-1 instead of holding on, made the changes, brought Festi Ebiseli on, brought Colin Kazim-Richards on, and just goes for it. And we've got that quality to come off the bench, right? We've got some real impact subs. So I think he'll go for it. I think he's learned his lesson from trying to play a certain way that he did last year when he didn't necessarily have the players. He still likes to play his football. We still play out from the back, a little bit too much for my liking, but he's sticking by what he wants to do. We're playing a real positive brand of football at the minute, and Craig Forsyth and Ebiseli or whoever's in them positions, they're really bombing on. And when Derby break at the minute, I don't know if you saw the second goal against Sheffield United on Saturday, it's like 4-on-2 at one point, I think. And he's really like, right, we'll soak up. We'll go to Forest. We might have to soak a bit of pressure up. But if we win the ball back on the halfway line, straight away you've got 4. And it's real attacking brand of football. We've been let down by a lack of quality once we get in that position a few times. So it might take 4 or 5 chances for us to score a goal. But if we keep getting in, playing that style of football, I think Derby will score. I expect Derby to score.
The limbs down in that little way. And I'm going to be in the upper Brigford, so I'll be able to look down at you. And I'm petrified of like yellow smoke canisters going off and just everything. That is my big fear. Are there any Forest players you're worried about? Because obviously Jed Spence is now obviously a world-class player after beating Arsenal by himself, apparently, if you believe social media. But is there any Forest players you're worried about?
Do you know what? I've been working at BBC Radio Nottingham alongside Colin Frey, who's also on the podcast. So I've not seen a lot of Forest, but I've kind of been around a lot of Forest this year, and they're very good. And Jed Spence, I watched the game against Arsenal. I mean, I actually felt for Forrest that day because to have a game like that in front of national TV, he's in the Premier League next season. Like, that was just unbelievable. So Jed Spence, I like Zinganagel. Philip Zinganagel, is it?
I'm
trying to think who else has impressed me. Who do you think the ones to watch are? Obviously, Graben keeps popping up with a last-minute goal, so...
Graben, obviously, I think Derby fans might recognise... I'm not sure if he scored against Derby. We've moved on from Bong, so we don't have that liability. We've got Jack Cole back at left-back, and obviously, have a lot of Arsenal fans, you know, growing up in Bristol, lots of Arsenal fans, because that's how Premier League football works. Everyone's saying Saka's going to tear you apart, and you're worried about Jack Colback, but he's so solid. But I don't think it's going forward that I think Derby fans have to look out for. Steve Cook at the back is sensational. I know he's only had 2 games, but he's so good. He's that little bit of extra thing that Forrest just needed, that little Suson of something. I'm not sure what it is, but he just allows Worrell to go roaming a bit more. It creates a strong defence, but it allows... He also can get the team going forward better. I'm not a tactical genius, but I think Steve Cook is the man to watch as a tactical point of view. But I think also Zinchenko, Brennan Johnson. Now, if you can give Brennan Johnson 5 yards of space, he's someone to watch. He's a delight to watch. I'm not sure he's Premier League ready just yet. And I know Brentford are in for him. So it could be his last game in the Garibaldi, but it's going to be a good game. I'm so excited for this game. It's my first Forest Derby game at the stadium. Growing up in Bristol, it was impossible to get tickets. It's the first Forest sellout of the year. So congrats to you guys. That's all down to you, I'm sure. Let's just have one last thing. I feel like Derby fans have been through a lot of stuff this past few months. So you can have a complete minute of a rant about one thing that really annoys you about Forest. I feel you need... you know, a punching bag, and Forrest can be that punching bag for this 1 minute.
That's absolutely brilliant. When do I start?
Go.
Yeah, we get it. You won the European Cups in 1980. You're not a bigger club. No, hang on, I'm not going to go into it. No, to be fair, like, there's been a few bits this week, and the Derby fans have got their idiots. Forest fans have got a few idiots. Social media is a breeding ground for idiots. The only things I don't like are seeing the odd tweet about, like, I've seen really horrible tweets about let them die and stuff like that. And it's not as much of a rant as everyone's entitled to their opinion. So I'm not going to come on and say, you can't say that. But it's a bit too much for me. I respect the rivalry. We've spoken before when you came onto my podcast. I'll hate Forest for the 90 minutes on Saturday, and I want nothing more in my life than to beat them. So I've got bragging rights forever. And you touched on it earlier. We might keep the Brian Clough trophy forever.
That's so scary. It is so scary.
I've gone over a minute, but my only thing is, let's just keep it. Let's just keep it as it should be. Let's have the banter. Let's have the this and that and Tyson and all the little things of banter we have. Let's keep it as banter, because there's a football club at stake, and it's bigger than anybody who's on Twitter. It's bigger than anybody who's at that ground on Saturday. It's 138 years of history, and it's a founding member of the Football League. And I think we should all try. I'm not expecting Forest fans to be going, save Derby County, because they never will. But I think just have a little think.
Yeah, I think we do have a lot of idiots on social media, as every football club does. But one thing I will say is, on Over the Trent, we posted one, I think it was in December, news article about Derby going down, like having financial difficulties. And I just wrote, Forest have done so much for me in my life. They've really helped me in my darkest moments. They've really given me joy when I've needed it most. And in a parallel universe, my dad could have supported Derby because he grew up in Lincolnshire. So he could have easily gone for either club. And to imagine there's another me who needs Derby County, not Nottingham Forest, he needs Derby County. I wouldn't want to take that away from him. And I think that's really going to be punctuated in the sixth minute. This is a call for all Nottingham Forest fans and Derby fans. There's going to be a clap for a young lad who died, sadly, I believe, a brain tumour, Leo. And I think that puts it in perspective that this is a rivalry, and it's great to have, you know, a good level of fun. We all enjoy that. But at the end of the day, it's just football. So let's not get too carried away. Let's end this little interview with the score, moment of the match, and the man of the match predictions.
Score, I think there's goals in it, because we've not had goals in one for a while. They're all kind of 1-0, 0-0, 1-alls, aren't they? So I think there's going to be goals. I'm going to go 2-2. I think man of the match will be Festi Ebisele, and moment of the match will be when Curtis Davis scores a diving header in the 96th minute in front of the Lower Bridgeford and jumps in the away end. And we're all, and there's 2,000 people singing, Derby's on fire, the EFL are terrified. That'll be the moment.
I didn't get a chance to do my score prediction. I'm going to say it's going to be the fifth 1-1, because that it's mad how the last four have been 1-1 draws, and they've been dire games. Moment of the match. Ooh, I'm going to say Graban, just in front of the Trent end, just gets that late equaliser. Man of the match, probably Steve Cook, after almost a John Terry in 2010, sort of diving header off the line to keep us in it. Blake, thank you so much for coming on. You're on your break, aren't you? You're on your break.
Yeah, I'll go back to work, yeah.
Yeah, so thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. And thank you so much for listening to Over the Trent. It's been an absolute pleasure having Blake on. And keep it URM.